Hi, welcome back. It's Mark Tui in for Rushmi Nair today. Okay, so aside from being the special rapporteur to look into the change of hands of Pornhub, as I promised you in the last segment, one of my longstanding career ambitions has been to be, the first, part-time weekend radio host in space. And I think this next story tells me how we're going to do that. And I'm hoping that my guest, CTV News Talk 1010 science expert Dan Riskin, might be a colleague. Perhaps I can talk him into launching this business. Welcome, Dan. It's great to talk with you again. Have I told you how much I respect you? You could invest.
I like where this is going. I like very much the idea of somehow getting the both of us out into space, and not just radio waves, but actual our physical bodies. Let's talk this through.
So okay, but before we get to that, because that's the payload, that's the exciting part. I want to talk. I've got a bone to pick. I got a question of you, because I've seen in the interwebs over the last couple of days a really cool looking brand new spacesuit that apparently isn't just sort of a fictitious thing from the minds of some, costumiers in the movie world. But this is a brand new spacesuit officially unveiled by NASA. And it is not only cool, but it is black. I would have thought that white was important to spacesuits for some reason. I mean, don't you want to be found? Why black? And what's going on here?
White is important. For being found is one thing. I don't think that's the main function of the white. The main function of white is to reflect sunlight, and so that you don't get cooked. And you're exactly right. Black is not a great color if you're walking around the surface of the moon when the sun is shining on you, because you will get very hot. And so, in fact, although they, yes, as you say, NASA has unveiled these gorgeous looking Artemis III lunar spacesuits, what they've shown is the shape of the helmet, the shape, the gloves, the backpack. It looks like a mix between the old style spacesuits and something from Star Trek. But yes, it's black. However, they do say, oh, by the way, when people go to the moon with these things for real, they're going to have to wear an outer shell on this that makes it thicker and also makes it white. So it's going to look kind of similar to what we're used to be honest. But they have these cool black spacesuits that they can use when they're on their way there, and if they do something outside the spaceship on the way there or something like that. But then for walking around the moon, they will wear white again. There will be a white covering on the spacesuit. But this spacesuit does look a little bit Hollywood, because Esther Marquis, who is a costume designer for Apple TV Plus's For All Mankind, was
great
brought
show
on board to help design this. Yeah, so the person, the costume designer from that show, helped design these spacesuits. So they acknowledge that it's got to look kind of neat, because I mean, it's the public's money and you want the public to be on board. And so if it looks cool, the public's going to feel better about it. But these are the spacesuits that are to be worn for Artemis 3. And I mean, we've already done Artemis 1. Artemis 2 is supposed to be next year. So Artemis 3 is coming down the pipeline, and it's kind of cool to see what these spacesuits look like. And there are a couple of reasons they're better. It's more maneuverable, it's lighter, it should be less bulky. But the other big thing is that they can swap out more parts of it to different sizes, because they're acknowledging that not all people who go to space are going to be the exact same size. It used to be just, white guys, white fighter pilot shaped people, and you just made everything fit that size because that was the only kind of person you're ever going to have up there. One of the reasons it's called the Artemis mission is because Artemis is the twin sister of Apollo, is a female, and there are going to be women going to walk on the moon as well. So you can't just have the spacesuit built for men. So this is going to have a lot of swap-outable parts so that it can fit different body shapes. And that is one of the reasons that I think you're right to be optimistic that the two of us will be going to space in the not-so-distant future somehow.
Yeah, because there's a very large stomach version of this somewhere, probably.
Exactly.
I want to get to the you and I making lots of money and being astronauts, but, might not one also be exposed to the rays of the sun while floating outside a spaceship on the way to them?
Yes. Yeah, I have the same kinds of questions, but they do say the black is going to have a function as well. But for the moon, they're very specific that it's going to be white and it's going to be a little bit thicker with insulation. So it's quite possible. I guess it depends on different factors. I assume if you're on the far side of the moon or the dark side of the moon, because the thing about the moon is if you're standing on the moon, the sun is up for about 15 days and then the sun is out, away, gone for 15 days because of just the way it rotates. And if you sit down over a beer and just think it through, that all makes sense to you. But basically, you go for a long time without the sun on your face. And so so during the nighttime, you'd be fine in the black suit. And during the daytime, you'd want the white one.
See, I think they need to take out a page out of the way I shop for ski equipment. I want bright red ski clothes because I expect to spend a lot of time lying in the snow bleeding, and I want to be found quickly. But besides that, you and I could be going to space. If you and I can cobble together enough money to launch a company that would make space stations, and how hard could that be? NASA has said that the International Space Station, they're going to retire it or hand it off to somebody by 2030-ish or so. And after that, they don't want to be property owners. They just want to be tenants. And they've already let some contracts, but their vision of the future is space stations will be owned and operated by private landlords, and they'll just rent space.
Yeah. So the International Space Station, I think they're going to hand it over to the Pacific Ocean. I think that's their plan for that, is that around 2030, they're going to say, okay, this has been a fun ride. We're done with you. They're going to crash it down to Earth, burn it up, and then have whatever doesn't burn up land in the Pacific Ocean. That'll be a whole thing. I look forward to that. I hope their aim is good. I'm sure it is. But yeah, what NASA is kind of like changing the way they do things. It used to be that they were like, okay, private industry, build us a rocket. We want it to look like this. And then when you build it, it's going to be ours. But now they're more about saying to private industry, here's a job we have. Like, we want to be able to shuttle astronauts to the International Space Station. How are you going to solve that problem? And then SpaceX just makes something up that solves the problem, but it's SpaceX's stuff. And NASA just pays money to use it. And that's worked really well for getting to space. And so now they're saying, okay, instead of owning an International Space Station, let's just rent spots on privately owned space stations. So Mark, this is what they've done. They've called... Yeah, exactly. Mark and Dan's space station. So they have made a call out to private industry, to Axiom Space, to all these other, you know, to Jeff Bezos's company, to us, obviously, saying, you know, put something up there that we can do experiments on. And so this is the beginning of the ecosystem that's coming into play. And so they've already awarded a contract to Axiom Space to build some modules for the International Space Station, but they've also issued some contracts to some other companies for different pieces of space stations that they think are going to be functional. And so Northrop Grumman has made some stuff. Orbital Reef, which is owned by Bezos. Orbital Reef will be the name of the space station that Jeff Bezos is promising to build. And the idea is that NASA is one of the tenants there. And then the question is, who are the other tenants? Who else wants to go to space? And that's, I think, where you and I actually might really, not even kidding, benefit from this, is because space tourism is going to be a great way to pay the bills for those things. And so if you run a space station and NASA's there doing some stuff, who else are you going to rent to? Well, you're definitely going to want to put some tourists up there because people are going to pay good money for that. So that's one thing. Exactly. We're going to need a waiter to serve those people. So there's your gig. I'll be the bartender, or we'll be really rich from our careers in talk radio, and we'll just buy a $1 billion ticket to go up there. Who knows how that'll all come together. But the other thing is there's biomedical research. And so there are a lot of questions that can be conveniently answered in weightlessness. And so it might be that some of the money to pay for these things comes from biomedical research. But nonetheless, it's a shifting of the ecosystem. It's a change of the way that space works. And everybody's been pretty happy so far with the improvements to travel to space that have happened because of companies like SpaceX working like Uber. And so maybe we'll have, you know, slumlords in space, you know, giving us a place to rent to go up there. But I just think it's the odds of you or me getting to go to space, I think, improve in this new way of seeing things compared to the way they are right now with just the International Space Station.
Yeah, we don't have to be astronauts anymore. We could be plumbers who work in space.
Yeah, like Super Mario. Exactly. Like, not only will it be an adventure for us, but it'll be the basis of a great video game. I think the whole thing is just really coming together nicely. But, you know, we know what the spaces are looking like. Like, you got to, every once in a while, you just got to take a deep breath and realize we really do live in the future. Between ChatGPT talking to us, and there's talk of ChatGPT being put into cars, so your car could talk to you like ChatGPT, which is basically Knight Rider. So we're really living in this, like, perfect utopian future that I always dreamed of when I was a little kid. Between Knight Rider and going to space and all the other stuff, like, it's a good life we're going into right now. I'm very excited about all of it.
Yeah, and I like where this space thing is going. Dan Riskin, our science expert, thanks for joining us. And you and I definitely have to get together on a space venture. We'll figure this out.
I love it. Talk to you soon.
Dan Riskin is our go-to guy when we want to understand the world of science.